Beginning with verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to a portion of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of a kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. They answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant, who was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant who was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel who came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, except that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from here, but abide here close by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. And go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art thirsty, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger or a foreigner. Ruth's history is the picture of every believer. In verse 10, she asks the question of Boaz, Why have I found grace in thy sight? This is always the question of the person who has been brought to a knowledge by the convicting work of the Holy Spirit of his sinfulness and of the mercy of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Ruth was originally from the land of Moab. The people of Moab were under the curse of God to the extent that God forbade any Israelite to intermarry with them. Also, they had been commanded to kill the Moabites so that they would not be a threat within the land. However, Ruth being from the land of Moab and under the curse of God is a picture of the believer who by nature is a child of wrath, even as others, having been born in sin into a world under the curse of God and so deserving the wrath of God. Furthermore, it is said that Ruth was a stranger or a foreigner. This is in keeping also with the New Testament description of those whom the Lord came to redeem. We are said to be strangers and pilgrims, also to be foreigners from the commonwealth of Israel. However, being a stranger, she was soon brought into citizenship because of her marriage to Boaz. Boaz, as every child of God, is brought into citizenship in heaven through their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember that the occasion for Ruth's being in Bethlehem, Judah, was that 10 years before, Elimelech with his wife Naomi and their two sons, because of a famine in the land, had left Judah and had gone into Moab in order to find bread. However, in coming to Moab, Elimelech died. Soon the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, married two Moabite women, one by the name of Orpah and the other Ruth. It was not long after this marriage that these two young men died. After this death, these three women who were widows were cast upon one another to care for one another and to live together. However, after the 10 years of being in Moab, word came to Naomi that God had visited his people with bread in Bethlehem, Judah. She says to her daughters-in-law, "I shall return home. You go back to your father's house, so that there you might find for yourself a husband and the protection of his home." Though Orpah turned back, Ruth refused to do so. She clave unto Naomi and said that Naomi's people would become her people, that Naomi's God would be her God, and wherever Naomi would go, she would go. Wherever Naomi died, she would die. Wherever Naomi would be buried, there she would be buried also. As soon as Naomi and Ruth arrive in the land and are recognized in Bethlehem, Judah, they settle down and we are immediately introduced to the subject of Boaz. For chapter 2 opens with this statement, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz." Now nothing is said as to the settling down of Naomi and Ruth. And though Boaz is introduced, Ruth does not yet know him, and she does not know who he is, and she has no acquaintance with the laws of Israel concerning a kinsman redeemer. But in view of the fact that Boaz becomes one of the major characters in this drama of redemption and is a picture and type of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is fitting that he be introduced at this place where Ruth now is introduced to a custom heretofore unknown to her that is gleaning in another person's field. In the laws of God as given to Israel, it was commanded that in the event of a person being stripped of their personal goods and reduced to poverty, that those who had property were never to harvest their crops completely clean. This would serve for two purposes. Number one, it would be cheaper on the landowner in view of the fact that his regular harvesters could gather the main crop more rapidly, and so it would not require as much labor in bringing in the main crop as it would in picking the fields clean. And then that which was left by the harvesters was to be given to the gleaners. This is God's welfare program. So those who did not have any means of livelihood, who had no property, who had no income, were well taken care of provided they worked for it. God nowhere allowed anyone to hand out a free dole to those who were not working. As a matter of fact, through the Apostle Paul to the church at Thessalonica, God says, "If a man won't work, don't feed him. When he gets hungry enough, he'll go to work." Now God offers a welfare program that'll work and that will supply the needs of those who have certain needs. And that is that other people share their bounty with them, but in such a way that they have to work in order to get it. Furthermore, if a person was a gleaner, this meant that they usually mixed with the worst sort of people. People who had either been brought out of slavery, or people who had not enough initiative to hold on to property, people who were transient, living from one place to another. So this meant that if a young woman, especially of Ruth's beauty and of her youth, should be cast into the midst of gleaners, there was every possibility that she would be taken advantage of by these men and so abused and misused. This is why we have it recorded that Boaz gave orders to the young men, which he informs Ruth of, that they are not in any way to abuse her, and when she becomes thirsty, they are to allow her to drink out of the water that they have drawn without any stipulations or conditions as to receiving of those needs. So Boaz becomes the protector of Ruth. Now we find that Ruth is in the land of Judah out of faith. She believed the word of God concerning bread in the land. And she came into the land out of love for her mother-in-law and out of need. Every person that ever comes to Christ comes to him with a sense of need. So let us note, first of all, that Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's. Now you will notice that Boaz was not directly related to Naomi herself. He was related to Naomi through Elimelech, Naomi's dead husband. Although some detail is given concerning Boaz, nothing is said to give any idea of the significance of this fact, nor to indicate what, if any, interest it could have had for Ruth. Ruth knew nothing about a kinsman, and she did not know the advantage of having a kinsman. However, Boaz is brought upon the scene because from this point on, he will be in the drama as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Note first of all that it says of him that he was a mighty man. He was a mighty man. Now the description that is given to the Lord Jesus Christ by the prophet Isaiah is that he is mighty and that the government rests on his shoulder. So this means that Boaz is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God's mighty man, who is able to save. The reason we can say this of the Lord Jesus is that being very God of very God, in the fullness of the time, he took upon himself man's nature. Therefore, that human nature that was in union with his divine person was miraculously begotten of the Holy Ghost, was without sin, and was sustained by the divine person of Jesus Christ, which enabled him to bear our sin and become mighty to save. Furthermore, it says of Boaz that he was a mighty man of wealth. In other words, he was a large landowner and a man of means. The Lord Jesus Christ fits this description, for it says that he became poor for our sakes, which implies that he was not poor by nature. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he? He is the second person of the Trinity. And as the second person of the Trinity, all things by him were made, and without him was not anything made that is made. Therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The world is his possession and belongs to him as God. But when we look at the Lord Jesus as Savior, we find again that he is a mighty man of wealth. Our position is that of poverty. For we read in Romans chapter 5, while we were poor, that is, while we were poverty stricken, Christ came into the world in order to redeem us. We were in debt to God's justice. sinners unable to meet the demands of God's law. But the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, was able to keep that law, and with His merit was able to die for the guilt of our sins and to pay the sin debt in full. So that now there is nothing that we ourselves do in order to be saved. Christ is God's gift, and salvation is God's gift through Christ unto us. In Him there is no lack of anything. Furthermore, we read not only that He was a mighty man of wealth, but His name is Boaz. The name Boaz, translated, means in Him is strength. In Him is strength. He's the strong one. So this has reference to the Lord Jesus. In Christ is strength for salvation. Undone, helpless, hopeless sinners have strength in the Lord Jesus. Through the weakness of the flesh, we cannot meet the demands of the law. But our Boaz has strength to meet every demand and to deliver us out of the power of Satan's kingdom. It is also said that Boaz was a kinsman of Naomi's husband. A kinsman. He was related to Naomi's husband. We're going to see as we study further in the book of Ruth what it means to be a kinsman. It means to be a redeemer. A kinsman redeemer. It means that the one who redeems must be next of kin to the person who is redeemed, as Boaz eventually becomes in his redemption of Naomi and Ruth out of their poverty and purchasing their property back for them. The kinsman redeemer, as set forth in Boaz, signifies that the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Redeemer, in order to have the right to save us and the responsibility to save us, had to become kin to us by taking our nature upon Himself. Christ could never have been our Savior if He had not become man. For the Redeemer must be next of kin. That nature which fell into sin must also be the nature that bears the wrath of God against sin and delivers us from it. Now let's note two or three things concerning the fact of Boaz being the kinsman. As he, being related to Elimelech, would have had no meaning whatsoever for Ruth, who was a foreigner, so we may note that our Lord's relation to Israel, having been born of the Virgin Mary, would signify nothing to those who are Gentiles apart from God's own revelation. Turn with me to the book of Romans and chapter 9. The book of Romans, chapter 9. In this chapter, the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, says concerning the Lord Jesus, "Who are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption, that the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen." So we can say that as Boaz was related to Elimelech, an Israelite, so the Lord Jesus Christ came of the Israelites after the flesh. However, in verse 10, we read that Ruth finds grace, unmerited favor, in the eyes of Boaz, the near kinsman of Elimelech. So as she found grace in the eyes of Boaz, So God has had an eternal purpose of grace for us who are not Israelites after the flesh, which was hidden in other ages. So turn to the book of Ephesians and chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, the Apostle Paul writes concerning our relationship to Christ, "By which, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." What was that mystery? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. So as Ruth found grace and was made a fellow heir with Naomi in Elimelech's heritage, so the Lord Jesus, who came of the Israelites after the flesh, has included the Gentiles in his purpose of redemption. Now you may note that immediately upon Ruth's arrival at Bethlehem, Boaz is brought into view. And from this point on, Ruth's history is completely determined by him. God has now accomplished what he purposed to do, to bring Ruth out of Moab, to bring her into Bethlehem, and to bring her into a relationship with Boaz, whom he ordained should marry her. So let us note in the second place that Ruth comes into Boaz's field. In verses 2 and 3, Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find grace." Now what she's saying there is this: let me go join the gleaners so that I can get enough grain for us to live on. Perhaps I can find some man who owns some field that will show me grace. Now, she doesn't know that she's going to the field of Boaz. And she, Naomi, said to Ruth, "Go, my daughter." And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and it merely says that it was her hap. And that means that she happened to come to a portion of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. Now, Ruth is in total submission to Naomi. She asks permission in order to glean, as she had pledged herself from the beginning. So we are commanded by the Apostle Peter to be in submission to those that are elders, and so to one another. However, it says that she happened to have come to the field of Boaz. And verse 3 reads casually, as if it were something that just, you know, happened by chance, out of mere circumstance. But behind that word "hap" is the whole purpose and will and plan and sovereignty of God. Because he ordained that she should come into that field. And he ordained that she should come to the attention of Boaz, because he had ordained that Ruth be a grandmother of David and in the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, coming to this field, joining the gleaners, not knowing the territory, just going wherever the others went, she was being guided by an invisible hand. In those days, there were no boundaries to distinguish one part of a field from another. Men did not have fences, and they did not mark off their land with the exception of boundary stones. And these were hard to find. And usually the owner and the family of the owner knew where the boundary stones were, as well as other people who owned land that was adjacent. But a stranger or a passerby would never find out the landmarks, and so could not know what field they were in. Ruth, on the other hand, had no reason to prefer this field over against another. She didn't know who it belonged to. She didn't know who Boaz was. And she certainly did not know anything about God's secret purpose of ordaining that she should come into relationship with Boaz. So we may learn from this event that God arranges all incidents of life to serve His purpose. Some are permissive, and so Satan has his way for a while, as with Job. But some are directed, and no incidents are accidental. God works all things after the counsel of His own will. There is no such thing as something happening by luck, but everything unfolds according to God's timetable and accomplishes His end. If men had written concerning Ruth, they would have said, "This is one of the most unusual dramas of sheer accident ever recorded." How every single little incident, no matter how distasteful or how pleasurable, worked toward her good and eventually to bring her into a place of honor. She went forth a poor foreigner, hoping to find grace in somebody's eyes. And she did, in the eyes of Boaz. And Boaz honored the law of God as laid down in Leviticus 19 and Deuteronomy 24 concerning the gleaner. In the third place, we have the subject of Ruth being introduced into the household of Boaz. She not only gleans in his field, but from verses 4 through 10, we see that she is, as soon as Boaz comes into the field, brought into his house, where he there, as we shall see, admonishes her. I want you to note the language in verse 4. "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered, 'The Lord bless thee.' And then he immediately asked his foreman, his overseer, 'Whose damsel is this? Who does this girl belong to?' And he told him all about her. And then he, after she pleads for his grace to let her glean, we read that she gleaned in his fields, except in verse 7, that she tarried a little in the house." In other words, she was given access to his house. She tarried in his house. Now we may learn from this that immediately after conversion, it is God's plan that the stranger or the heretofore foreigner should be brought into one of the congregations of the Lord. In other words, if God has saved you, it is God's will that you be associated with those who are in God's family. Now I know that you have a responsibility to hear the word, and so a responsibility not to support those things called churches where the Lord Jesus Christ is not honored. But my dear friends, I have no patience with those people who take the attitude that they can do just as well at home as they can in church. I've heard many say, "Well, I can be just as faithful by staying home and reading my own Bible as I can by going to church." Let me tell you something, you can't do it. First of all, if you habitually turn your back on God's assembly, it is a sin that reveals you've never been saved. And furthermore, if you are a child of God, you're going to be in God's house with God's people in fellowship with those people around the Word of God. Now I want you to note, however, with reference to this house, that we read in verse 6, "And the servant who was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel who came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." In other words, what I want you to see is that the moment we are introduced to this household, no prominence was given to any one individual but to Boaz himself. His name is mentioned and stands out. Ruth's name is not called. And only Naomi is referred to identify her. And the servant over the house, who is the foreman, and so the authority immediately under Boaz himself is not named. But all attention is directed toward Boaz. And this is the way it should be. For wherever there is a true church, our Boaz will have the prominence. The Lord Jesus Christ will have all the recognition. In other words, when it comes to the overseer or the foreman, that is the one set over the house, the preacher, even his name fades away out of remembrance when it comes to the mentioning of the owner of the house. And when Boaz returns and stands in our midst, we lose sight of all glories except that which belongs to him. Therefore, any house that claims to be the house of Boaz or the house of God, where Christ is not honored, is not the house of God. Now you can be sure from the reading of Haggai chapter 1 and Zechariah chapter 8, well, as instructions given in the New Testament, that if you neglect the house of God, it will cause the withdrawal of the reign of God's blessing. It will bring spiritual poverty to your own soul. It will result in the lack of conversions in the church and create weakness and division among the saints. I don't mean that we'll stop God from saving His elect. I do mean that he will not entrust them to a people who are not faithful to that which he's given. God's not going to bring his newborn souls into our congregation and make them a part of this house if we're not faithful. If we're not faithful to his word, if we're not faithful to his charge, if we're not faithful to the responsibilities that have been committed to us as members of that household. You may note further that the reception given to Ruth by Boaz also brought about a reception by this company of Israelites who made up his household as those who labored for him. And this acceptance must have made a tremendous impression upon her, because they were friendly, and she was not abused, but received. Our lives, dear friends, must become the gospel that we profess to believe. In other words, not only must we be a part of the house of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we must show a concern for those who come into that house if we want to win them. You cannot be selfish, self-centered, cold, and indifferent, and expect people to be impressed with your house. If you want people to sit under the preaching of the gospel, they must feel a warmth. And it's you, as the Israelites moved out toward Ruth, that must move out toward the strangers to make them feel a part of the house. So in the last place, we may note that Boaz shows instant interest in Ruth as soon as he comes home. He bids them God's blessing. And then he says to his foreman, "Who's that damsel?" And as soon as he gets the information concerning her, he brings her into his house. And he, first of all, makes her feel at home. Note in verse 8, he says to her, "My daughter, my daughter." And in speaking to her as "my daughter," he says, "Don't go and glean in another field, but abide here close by my maidens, by the virgins of my house." So he makes her feel at home, "my daughter." Now this statement, "my daughter," was first of all a title of honor and affection. It showed that he honored her with respect, and also he knew who Naomi was. Ruth did not know who he was. And so he gave affection to Ruth. Furthermore, this is a title of permanent relationship. Now, if a person comes into our house to spend the night there, or we say that we have had a guest, or that someone has visited with us, but if we stand up and say, "This is my daughter," then it is understood that they are a part of that household. And that is a permanent relationship. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we are the sons of God. God calls us His sons and daughters. So we are not guests and visitors, and shouldn't be expected to be treated as such. We have a permanent relationship. He says to her, "You abide here. You settle down and make this your dwelling place." Also, it is a title of permanent character. You know, a visitor doesn't have the character of a child of a family. But "my daughter" means that Ruth was to take on a characteristic that would characterize that household. Now, being born again, we are in our character to correspond to that high position that we have in the house of God. Now, I want you to note in verses 8 and 9 the admonition that is given. Boaz says, "Do not go and glean in another field. Abide here close by my maidens. Let your eyes be on the field that they reap, and go after them. I've charged the young men that they not touch you. And when you're thirsty, go drink out of their vessels." Now this shows that the household of Boaz was something separate and apart from all other households in the land. He said, "Don't go into any other fields. Mine's sufficient. My fields are marked off and separate from all the other fields in this area." So it is with our Lord's churches. Our Lord's churches are separate from the religious organizations of the world. They're marked off because Boaz is honored there and the Word of Christ is set forth. Now, two matters are referred to. First of all, Ruth's service. She was to glean only in the field of Boaz and not in another. Now, gleaning is the gathering together of food, grain for the making of bread. You and I, having been brought into the family of God, are to glean only in our Lord's field. In other words, we are to render service only to the Lord Jesus Christ and not to men as men pleasers, as Paul said. Also, we are not to go into those fields that do not know our Lord. We are to be associated only with a true church and with the true people of God, where God's Word is honored and the gospel is preached and God's Son is magnified. Furthermore, she is admonished not only as to her service, but as to her association. Her fellowship. He said, "You stay here close by my maidens." Stay close to them. Don't go out there among the strangers. I've given word to these men that work for me that they're not to touch you. You stay close to my maidens. You'll be well protected, but you've got to stay in the right fellowship. Now, my dear friends, this is applicable to us. Evil companions, the Bible says, corrupts good manners. Now, we have to rub shoulders with the world in the world, but we don't have to be companions with them. We don't have to walk in their ways, nor do we have to follow them, nor do we have to seek their companionship and friendship. Our company is to be with the saints of the Lord, and so we are not to have unholy unions. Over in the book of Revelation, if I can remember the scripture, I believe that it's chapter 14. If not, I will relate it to you. We have something of this nature concerning a description of the children of God. Yes. Beginning with verse 1, I looked and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. That's the elect of God. That doesn't mean a literal 144,000, as the Jehovah's false witnesses say. But that's the elect of God. As Spurgeon has pointed out, a definite number, but a large number of perfection, made up of sevens to show the complete number of God's redeemed. Now look at what is said. It says, and this can only be said of the elect, in verse 3, they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the living creatures and the elders. No man could learn that song but the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. Now look at the next statement. These are they who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They have stayed close to the maidens. And so look at the next statement. These are they who follow the Lamb wherever He goeth. These were redeemed from among men, the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. So these are virgins who stayed close to the maidens and who followed the Lamb wherever He went, as we shall eventually see Ruth following after Boaz. Also in 2 Corinthians, we have an admonition concerning our companionship, how we are to stay close to the maidens, work only in our Lord's field, and keep company only with His people. And if you start keeping company with those that are not the redeemed of the Lord, you'll not have an influence upon them. They shall have an influence upon you. So, beginning with verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 6, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now that applies to all of our relationships. You young people who think about marriage, don't ever marry an unbeliever. Don't think marriage will convert them. You are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So the admonition of Boaz, work in my fields, stay close to my maidens, keep company with my people in my household. My dear friends, in this Thanksgiving Eve, we have a great deal that we can lift our voices to thanksgiving to God for. This time that we are now studying in the book of Ruth is a typical Thanksgiving scene, an abundant harvest, a man raised up of God, and a foreigner finding grace in his eyes. The unspeakable gift is the Lord Jesus Christ, that God raised up and has given us favor that we might have redemption. May the Lord bless these thoughts, not only to our understanding, but our practical use as well. I'll ask you to stand that we might be dismissed in prayer.